Finding Christ in Cinema and the Great Commission Transmission Network is made possible by the support of listeners like you. To learn more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate.
Hey, all you movie buffs out there. I'm David Gaddy.
And I'm Jeremiah Orr.
Together we are
the Theonauts. And you're listening to Finding Christ in Cinema with your hosts, Michael and Brendan.
Right here at gctnetwork.com, your Great Commission Transmission.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we play Yahtzee with Nana and Pop Pop as we look for Christian themes in M. Night Shyamalan's The Visit. What will it take for Becca and Tyler to finally forgive their dad? What are the deep darkies that Nana keeps talking about? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 92. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission Transmission.
Yeah, baby, what did we talk about last week?
Oh, last week we talked about the Steven Spielberg 1982 classic... Blockbuster, yes.
D.P.
No.
D.
No.
E.C.
No. E.T.
The Drift Compatible.
No. E.T. The Extraterrestrial.
That was an excellent episode. We got some great feedback. We made it short. It was nice and short and sweet and to the point.
See if we can do it again.
A good illustration of Christian unity. A good illustration of the importance of prayer. I said it proper. I'm supposed to give up that, huh? I'm sorry.
I would rather you not.
The importance of prayer.
Oh.
Drop the T there, the first T. A lot of fun. Anything that you needed to add to that? Addendums, afterthoughts. Oh, and another thing.
Not from me.
Nope. Got that one, huh?
Yeah.
So all you listeners, get back to the last episode, number 91 of Finding Christ in Cinema. You can find that and all of our episodes at ChristInCinema.com. What are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about M. Night Shyamalan's latest,
yes,
and I would dare say smash hit,
yeah,
The Visit.
Oh, you want to go to the movies?
Well, I usually don't like horror movies, but I think in this case we'll make an exception.
I'll keep you safe.
Okay,
here we go.
Every day it's getting close.
Are you holding my camera properly? Swerve, girl.
Stop, both of you.
My mom. My parents asked if their grandchildren could visit them for a week.
Here we are.
This is where our mom grew up. I've wanted to spend time with you for so long.
Miss you guys!
Mom, we're having a great time.
I have not seen your Nana this happy in years. Bedtime here is 9:30. It's probably best you two shouldn't come out of your room after that. See you in the morning.
9:30?
What is that?
It's 10:47.
We think there's someone outside the door. What the hell was that?
I think Nana's not feeling well.
Grandmother is fine. It's like somebody talking in their sleep.
What's he doing?
They're weird during the day.
I was just cleaning it.
And even weirder at night?
Mom, there's something wrong with Nana and Papa.
They're just old.
Bear with it for a couple of days.
Nana, are you okay?
They're hiding something.
It's just the end of your trip.
I'm sad. It's all over. I'm gonna get you.
Papa!
Let's make it a perfect night.
What is that?
Mom, you need to come right now.
Would you mind getting inside the oven to clean it?
Stop! Nana, stop!
Oh, man.
Wow.
Oh.
All right, Brendan. Hey, first of all, everybody, filters up. If you haven't watched, well, first of all.
There you go. There you go.
If you have not seen M. Night Shyamalan's The Visit, stop the podcast now.
And go watch it.
Well, don't watch it.
Well, oh,
Michael. Oh, I can't recommend people watching this film, Brendan. I would not judge anybody for doing so. I wouldn't say you are a bad person if you've watched it. I just can't encourage people to watch this film. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be the other side of the coin for just a second.
Okay.
If you haven't seen the movie and you want to listen to the podcast and you know that we're going to talk about M. Night Shyamalan's trademark twists, which this movie has one. We don't want to ruin it for you. So if you want to listen to the podcast and know what we're talking about, for that reason, I would say go watch the movie.
However, if you are sensitive to foul language, partial nudity, and just overall horror elements and themes, don't watch the film. Listen to the podcast anyway, so that when somebody comes up to you at the water cooler and says, how about that newest M. Night Shyamalan film, The Visit? You can say, you know what about that film? There's some great themes in that film that I'd like to tell you about. And you don't even have to watch the film. We're going to tell you what you can talk about. We're going to give you the gist of what the film was. So either way, watch it or don't watch it. I'm not recommending anybody to watch it. If you do watch it, if you choose to, and you say, I'm a big boy, I'm a big girl, I can handle things like that, have your industrial strength filter up.
Yeah.
Be prepared for disturbing images and some crudity, I guess. Is that a word?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, filters up, full blast. This is a full blast filter movie.
Which oddly enough, it's only rated PG-13. But
well, we're not going to get into that discussion.
Yeah, we're not. But it just anyway.
Yeah. But okay. That aside, what about this film, Brendan?
Oh, I love it.
Why?
I love it because, and I'm going to quote again, Brian Godawa.
Yes.
Salvation is only as beautiful as the horrors of
what you're being saved from
yes. Is ugly.
Absolutely. We're going to make that point in this film.
Yeah, well, that's why I want people to see this, because we do see all that horrible stuff that happens, mm-hmm. but then we see...
Hey, I agree with you. I understand what your point is. You cannot shield yourself from reality. And to think that that the Christians in the first century didn't see things much more horrific than what we are accustomed to seeing in their everyday life, you're wrong. Okay, they weren't living a sanitized Western existence. United States of America, everything is, let's make sure we don't offend anybody. Let's make sure everything's, you know, on the keel. That wasn't life for the first century Christians. And it's also not life for the majority of the citizens of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just happen to live in this little oasis, and we believe that the way that we experience the world is the way everybody experiences the world for all time.
Yay.
Everybody has always... Yes, all the kids are... Yay! Everything's wonderful.
Democracy works.
We don't offend people anymore and things like that. No, Brendan makes a good point. You get, quoting Brian Godawa, you got to see the ugliness to know what you're being saved from. So I'll concede that. I'm still telling people that if you are sensitive, don't watch this
film.
Yeah,
if you're sensitive to it.
Now, Brendan, you say it's a good movie, but on IMDb, it has 5.3 out of 10 stars. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. It just went up to 6.2.
6.2?
You just rated it.
I just voted. That was me.
It was just too... No, right... Oh, okay, that's for another movie, Sinister. But yes, 6.2... I think that puts it solidly in the D category, maybe the F. Well, is this movie a failure?
I don't think so. Okay. And I'm saying that because the message at the end is what triumphs. It is a good message, which we'll get into.
And you'll find out that it's the message from frame one.
Yeah, yes.
You know?
From the very beginning.
Talk about M. Night Shyamalan now.
As a director, yes. As a storyteller.
As an artist.
The man knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I don't think he treats anything flippantly.
Right.
He doesn't do it just because he's trying to sell something. The man's got a message.
Yes. And
he's trying to get it out there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that with that little stint since Lady in the Water and all the way up until After Earth, apparently everyone hates him.
Yeah. But or you're supposed to hate him.
You're supposed to.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the status quo.
Right.
You're supposed to despise.
But see,
M.
I'm
Night
not intelligent, so instead, I like to determine things on my own. And I'm getting. Can I throw out the G word here?
Depends on which one it is.
Genius.
Okay.
I think M. Night Shyamalan is a genius, and this film of all the ones that I have seen, and not many of them. This is our third M. Night Shyamalan film to mm-hmm. review on Finding Christ in Cinema. We have done Signs, and we've done The Village.
The Village, yeah.
I have seen The Sixth Sense. I have seen Unbreakable. So that with this movie, The Visit, that makes five movies. And of all five of them, they're all great movies. I think this one is the best. I think this one's the best. Because he did what he did, he crafted. This is a masterpiece, the way he crafted this. And listeners of Finding Christ in Cinema, you'll know that this movie has all kinds of things going against it. From my perspective, number one being the found footage style, you know, first person shooter style of the film. I can't stand that kind of thing. I loved it in this one. I really wanted right now. I just want to spoil the whole thing and just, you know, talk about what he did in this film. But
well, let me give you a segue.
Okay,
the main reason why a lot of people despise the found footage is because at the end of the film, you realize that the footage was found after the subjects of the film were found dead.
It's
like you've got the dead body and you've got the videotape right beside it. This is what happened. Case in point, Blair Witch Project, Paranormal Activity, all these, you know.
Never seen them.
Don't waste your time. All these found footage films are, it's called found footage because you found the footage right next to the dead body.
Okay.
This one is not the case.
Right.
And that's what makes
it has a happy ending.
That's what makes it stand out. And And like I said before the show, I was watching this with my sister and my dad last night. You know, dad fell asleep, you know, in the middle of it, and he, you know, whatever. But my sister was watching it, and at the end of it, she said, I've never seen a horror movie with a happy ending like this.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it doesn't happen a lot.
A great
ending. Happy ending. Yes.
All right. In fact, that's what he does with his film. This, the story of the crazy, quote, grandparents really have very little to do with the message of the film. In fact, I don't think it has anything to do with the message of the film.
Wait, say that again?
The story regarding the, quote, grandparents. Okay? That was just a nice vehicle to go for a joyride in.
Oh, I am inclined to disagree with you.
Well, good. Good. It's about time that we have some disagreement on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So... Here to me starts off with the story of the mother.
Okay. Yeah.
And her anger towards her parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then we discover the children's anger towards their estranged father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The mom is estranged from the parents. Now the kids are estranged from one of their parents.
It's a parallel.
Yes.
Similitude.
Yes, it is. We're going to lay things side by side and see how they compare. Then the kids go to see their grandparents that have never met them
mm-hmm.
because of the anger that their mother holds, the anger that has controlled the life of the mother, the same kind of anger that the children, especially the daughter, are harboring towards their father who left the family.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, see, the mother squandered her opportunity to release that anger. She'll never have the opportunity to release that anger. Not in a proper way. Yes, she could go to her parents' grave and say, "I forgive you. Will you?" And I know that you. I already know that you forgive me, because that's revealed. But there's no closure for her. But she's able to give a gift to her daughter who holds the lion's share of the anger towards her dad who left the family, and she gives her daughter a gift. Don't do this. Don't. And we'll talk about that in the story now. It just so happens that these crazy people that took over the lives of her parents, the grandparents, that was an unforeseen set of circumstances mm-hmm. that put up that finally put the last brick in that wall of reconciliation between the mom and the grandparents. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that was just a wild ride. It didn't even need to be in the film.
Well, then my question is, why did M. Night Shyamalan, if he is a genius, why did he put it in there?
You tell me.
Here's what I think.
Okay.
And this, I wish I had the movie queued up where I could prove my point.
I've only watched it once, so you could easily sway me.
Okay, well then allow me, because I will. Bold talk. The people that took over Nana and Pop-Pop's lives, they too had anger issues. That's what drove them to stay at Maple Shade Psychiatric Ward.
Okay.
Their anger had driven them to the far end of the spectrum to where they were no longer reasonable.
Okay.
They were outside the limits of sanity. They were angry. The grandma was angry. Whatever made her kill her kids, because she's the one that put them in the suitcases into the pond to get to that planet.
Oh, I missed that. I heard that story, but I didn't.
Yeah, okay, well, we don't realize that it's what really happened until Pop-Pop is in the basement with Becca.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, Becca's just found the real but dead bodies of Nana and Pop-Pop.
Yeah, and he says,
"I'm Mitchell, I forget Nana's real name," quote unquote. But he's like, she was so jealous and angry because she didn't get to have children like your Nana and Pop-Pop did. So, because he felt sorry for her, he's like, "Well, we're going to give you this one chance to be a grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
That way you don't have to be so angry. You're going to have this one chance." And then, you know, like, well, now we're all going to this planet because we're all dying tonight.
Wow. See, I didn't catch that.
See?
Because I was so wrapped up in the story of the mother.
Yeah.
Really.
Which really, I mean, for the mother not being in the film that much, that's good storytelling if you're still trying to fixate on what's going on with her, what's going on between her and the kids.
Well, she sets it up with such a mystery that's going to be part of your sound clips.
Yeah.
And so listeners, pay attention to that. Right from the very beginning, we have this, we're being led, as M. Night Shyamalan is wont to do, we're being led down the primrose path. Hey, don't look over here. This is where I want you to look. I mm-hmm. want you looking over here, and you're gazing while he's doing magic in the background.
Yeah.
And he did magic in the background of this. So biggest of shout outs to M. Night Shyamalan. Mr. Shyamalan, if you're listening, I don't agree with any of the hateful rhetoric that people are dishing on you. You're a genius.
Can we get you on the show?
Please, because you are at the very least a religious man of some sort.
Of some stuff.
I would be gobsmacked if he's not a Christian, especially with the main point of this film. As you know, as we see it here at Finding Christ in Cinema,
yeah.
And we're going to try and convince you listeners see it that way,
I
too.
I would dare say that's how he sees it,
because
he put it in the script himself.
Amen.
And okay, can we just do shout-outs?
Yes.
We're really about to get into it.
Yes.
Shout-outs, the kids.
Yeah, do it. They're both Australian. They're Aussies.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
How in the world are these folks able to ditch their accents so easy? I guess the American accent is just a piece of cake.
It pretty much is.
All right.
We're the only language that can rhyme, that doesn't have to rhyme eggs and ham.
And you don't even have to pronounce important correctly.
Yeah, you just
because say, nobody
important.
Does.
Important.
Yeah, important.
Important.
Yeah.
Olivia, I know I'm going to say
Dijon.
Okay, hey, you said it and I didn't. Good. She plays Becca. She's the older sister. She's the filmmaker in the family.
Yeah.
I loved her performance.
Yes.
She goes from, because you can understand the need for the older sibling to be in control all the time while the younger sibling.
Especially under the circumstances. Because when a parent leaves the family, guess what the kids feel like? They have no control and they're to blame.
They're responsible.
Yes. She did, and another scene that you have clipped out.
And that's why I clipped it out.
Tell me that is not acting on highest level. That girl, hey, we should be seeing her for the rest of her life in films. But what about little brother? Tyler, played by...
Ed Oxenbold.
Yeah. He was like 13 years old doing this role.
I'm not going to lie. I cried, or I welled up a little bit when his anger finally comes out.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah. Which we know M. Night Shyamalan gave us a clear look into that little boy's soul.
Mm-hmm.
What makes him tick, what his fears are, what what he thinks his part in his father leaving was. Wow. And that's enough. You have that clipped as well.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Acting. We'll see him for the rest of his life as well.
Nana and Pop Pop.
Hey, Deanna Dunnigan,
mm-hmm.
I believe she's a stage actress.
That would not surprise me.
Okay. She really had, to me, well, it's hard to, it's hard. I think that between her and Olivia gave the most, had the hardest roles. Because I think that Olivia in her scene that we'll get to a little bit later on, that raw emotion was, very few actors can really tap into that. Mm-hmm. That's a skill. But Deanna Dunnigan got to just play the whole gamut in this film.
Yeah.
From sweet little old lady to absolute psychopathic murderer.
Yeah.
And I mean,
and Peter McRobbie,
so much so that yes, both of them, I was just uncomfortable. Just, I mean, that feeling of that unsettled feeling.
Every time I watch it,
yeah,
I forget that they are actors.
Yeah.
Because their performances, they're of the mental incapacities. I forget they're actors. And I think, M. Night Shyamalan went to a mental hospital and actually took people out of it.
Yeah.
But they're actors.
Yeah.
They're just actors.
That scene where Peter McRobbie, where Pop Pop, you know, they're in the town, he's with the kids and he sees that guy across the street. At first I thought that was going to be M. Night Shyamalan's
cameo. It was too.
I was hoping that it was, but it wasn't. But anyway, sees him, that guy's over there. Look, I mean, that was,
he tackles
excellent.
Him.
Yeah, excellent acting.
He goes from like feeble old, again, you know, you got the difference between sweet old lady and maniacal psychopath. You've got the difference between sweet old grandpa versus like pro wrestler.
Yes.
Kabow.
Can we talk about Catherine Hahn?
Yeah, I was getting the mom. Next. Yes.
I mean, what I told you before we were live, or maybe the camera was on at that time or whatever, that is not the kind of acting that you find in a horror film.
Mm.
And we'll get to hear her. I mean, the opening scene, which we clipped a little bit of audio for the point that you're making, but what she's doing, you can see she's so agitated having to talk about this, and she's, you know, just, you know, scratching her arms and stuff. I felt like that before. You know, I mean, we can relate to that, and that goes back to, I mean, this whole cast, I didn't think that I was watching actors and actresses. I thought that I had a view into this very strange set of circumstances in the lives of these people, but her at the beginning, but then at the very end, the final scene,
the full circle.
Yes. That's the catharsis, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he waited till the very end to bring the resolution. And it was powerful. And we're going to hear about that. Phenomenal acting by the entire cast. I even liked, real quick, the Celia Keenan-Bolger as Stacy.
Oh, Stacy.
And then when you know what...
Just act natural.
Yes.
But then okay, never mind.
But then when you know that what happened... I mean, here's the story. The real grandma and grandfather were volunteering at this mental facility. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved them. We learned that from the opening scene. They're counselors. They're working as counselors. They were counseling these two old folks. They were part of their group of counseling.
Yeah.
Because that's how these crazy folks knew that they had their grandkids coming to visit.
Yeah.
And so, and they were so psychotic that they killed these old people in order to take over their lives, in order to bring some closure or some relief to
their own pain and suffering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But so then here comes Stacy. Well, first we meet, I can't remember who came first, Stacy or that Dr. Sam.
Dr. Sam was first.
Hey, and here's what they're thinking. Where are these folks? Mm-hmm. Something's not right.
Yeah.
And then when you see Stacy come and just there's a nervousness on her. She doesn't know something. Are your grandparents around? Oh, they're out doing, you know, such and such. Well, we haven't seen. Are they okay? Yeah, they're fine. But she knows something is not right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And here's what I love. When you rewatch this, you see the conversation that Stacy is having with, quote, Netta and Pop Pop out the window.
Yeah. You don't know what's going on.
You don't know what's going on, but you assume on your first watching.
Oh, no, they're okay. Come on in and see.
No. What I was going to say is because you see.
What were they telling her?
You see Stacy like pointing away from them, like, you guys got to get.
Yeah. What you need to be back at the hospital.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's even Becca that says she's probably telling them that they need to get help.
Yeah.
Because this whole time, you know, Becca and Tyler, they're like, oh, they're just old.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Tyler, he thinks something's up. Becca, not. But when you rewatch it, you realize that Stacy is saying, because Stacy recognizes these two. Stacy's saying, you're not Nana and Pop Pop. You two have got to get back to Maple mm-hmm. Shade. Oh, wow. You're not Nana and Pop Pop. And she's probably going to go call the police. That's when Nana and Pop Pop say, no, come here. It's fine. And then they hang her in the backyard. Oh. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie is awesome. Don't watch it, though.
Don't watch it.
But it's awesome. I mean, when you really examine this, M. Night Shyamalan is a genius. I was going to go through some of the IMDb reviews, but I refuse.
Well, let me just spit out one more time.
Unfathomably terrible?
Who said that?
This would be Nick. Nick said that.
What a terrible Nick. Anyway. Just want to throw out one more term out there. Gather around, children.
Yes. Oh, okay, good. Brendan is going to learn you something.
Speaking to the genius of M. Night Shyamalan, this film would be what's considered in the theater world a well-knit play.
Is that a technical term?
That's a technical term.
Okay.
Explain. Where everything is set up
precisely. Brendan, you got some explaining to do.
Oh, I'm trying to. Everything is set up that needs to be set up. There's nothing flippant or superfluous about it.
Okay.
Everything is compacted. It's purposeful. Everything has a purpose in the play, and it's so concisely well knit. Like, first you think, which we'll hear in a clip, you think Tyler's just, he's mourning over the fact that he thinks he's to blame for his dad leaving because he couldn't tackle a guy in football. And you think that scene in the barn, it's just there. Oh, this is just here for Tyler to emote. Later in the film, that comes back because Tyler freezes when he's with, quote, Pop yes. Pop in the kitchen. He freezes
and
again.
And overcomes.
He overcomes it.
Yes.
That shows his character overcoming.
Yes.
Overcoming that freezing.
Yeah.
It's not just placed there for character emotions. Yeah. It's placed there to plant a seed that will bloom later.
Same thing with Becca.
Yeah.
Because she was not going to, well, we'll find out. She's got such anger towards her father that she doesn't want him anything to do with this documentary that she's filming yet at the end after the catharsis. We see that yes, she is.
Yeah.
And she includes him into it because she has released that anger.
She has forgiven him.
Yes.
And one more technical term for you while I'm on it.
Yeah.
That's called a forward. It's not just foreshadowing. It's a forward.
What does that mean? Does that mean it's pointing us somewhere?
It's supposed to lead you to focus in on, oh, I wonder how this is going to pan out.
Okay.
It draws you in.
So it's like focal points in paintings and things that are supposed to lead your eye somewhere. Yes. So, okay. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful. Brendan, with such a horror film that isn't even a horror film, it's a morality play. There's a great moral in here. Are we going to be able to give some tools to the listeners so that they can use this film to talk about Jesus or share the gospel,
well,
the good news?
Really? We don't have to do anything because M. Night Shyamalan did it.
He did it.
But we're just going to talk about this a little bit.
All right.
So in the beginning of this film, these characters, Tyler, Becca, and Loretta, their mother, they're angry. They are full of anger, and they each have different ways of coping with it. Well, technically, I guess they could be the same. They pretend to let it drop, but really, they let it fester. From the very beginning of the film, let's listen to Loretta explain what happened.
Not explain.
She evades the topic.
Yes.
Let's listen.
Week I left, things escalated. Parents cursed at me, which was like crazy unusual. And it ended one afternoon very badly. I left at 19. Haven't spoken to my parents in 15 years. Whatever, that's just the history.
I left at 19. And I haven't spoken to my parents in 15 years. You don't just not speak to your own parents for 15 years.
For almost half your life.
For nothing. Yeah. Yeah. That pretty much. Yeah. You don't just do that for no reason. There's a reason, which at the beginning of the film.
We don't know.
We don't know. We just don't know. We know something bad happened.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly.
We're led to believe, you know, and that's another thing that M. Night Shyamalan does in this film is he plants ideas in our head. Well, this, you can surmise what happened. Look at how our parents are and mm-hmm. who knows what could have happened. It was a misdirection.
And another key verse, gentlemen and ladies, never let your right hand know what your left hand is doing.
Yeah.
Because I mean that's how he likes to tell his stories.
So back on point, the mom does not she tells her daughter, I'm not going to tell you what happened on that day. If your grandmother and grandfather want to tell you, that's their right. But I'm not telling you.
I'm not going to be the one to tell you.
She can't even talk about it. That's the thing.
Wow. Like you said, she was getting antsy and anxious. The children have picked up this trait of their mothers of repressing the anger. They've seen her do it, and children are going to do what they see the adults do. That's the truth. They've seen their mother repress this anger. Therefore, they repress this anger. And like we've already talked about, it's another sad truth. When parents separate, kids think they are to blame. In this scene, this next scene, we get to hear how Tyler thinks he's to blame, we don't really see him repressing the anger so far in this scene, but we'll listen to it.
Oh, and also a great example of acting and timing and pregnant pauses mm-hmm. and all that.
He gets the first down and runs and runs, and the other team is celebrating, and I'm still standing there. Same place. And the assistant coach came and got me, and Dad patted me on the shoulder and then went to the car, and he never told me he was angry or anything.
You think Dad didn't say anything and left because you didn't tackle another 8-year-old in a game 5 years ago?
Well, when you say it like that, it sounds stupid.
I think that so early in the film, we were supposed to get a chuckle out of that. Like, we were supposed to see how absurd that is as well. You know, some people have called this movie a horror comedy. You say that there's a lot of laughs in this movie. I wasn't really laughing, but I could see how we could be led in this scene to, you know, when he says, oh, well, when you say it that way, you know, it does sound stupid.
Yeah. But I mean, that is a mirror of how a kid deflects.
Yeah. True. It's not funny.
Yeah, it's not funny.
No.
And side note, I think the comedy was with all the Shakira and and all his rapping endeavors.
But I mean, even something like that, you know, in a comedy setting, you know, they would cue the laugh track there.
Yeah, exactly. But
this ain't funny.
Yeah. But it's just, oh man. So we see Tyler, how he thinks he's to blame, how he's repressing his anger. I mean, and honestly, in that, you wouldn't think it's a problem, but later on you do, as we've already talked about.
He actually directs his anger towards himself, mm-hmm. is what he's doing.
Yeah.
Why didn't I move? Why did I freeze? I stink. You know?
And actually, we have another little image of a parent not being angry, because he says his dad didn't get angry.
Yeah.
So again, the parents are setting the example for the kids. Kids are going to follow. In the scene shortly after this, we see Becca in front of the camera, and Tyler is behind it asking the questions.
So do you admit that you don't look at yourself, or are you going to keep lying?
When do you think I started doing that?
You know when.
That's not true.
You think you're worthless? Admit it.
He gave me a card when he left. Card.
This is not horror slasher film acting. This is Academy Award level acting. The pain, I couldn't even believe her performance in that scene. Well, those two scenes, because it cuts immediately to her still in pain over what her brother is bringing out of her with that questioning session.
And that's just another attribute, I think, to Shyamalan's portrayal of how brothers and sisters are to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They bring out the best and the worst and the deepest fears and everything like that. Or as David Getty in the chat room just said, the feels.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters bring out the feels in each other.
David Getty from our sister show.
The Theonauts!
Theonautspodcast.com.
So far we've seen Loretta, the mother, how she represses her anger. We've seen Tyler repress his anger. We've seen Becca her anger. And then as it specifically relates to the movie, there's a certain choice that Becca thinks she needs to make.
Well, it's how she expresses. You just talked about repressing her anger, won't even look at herself. Then she's going to express.
To express it. Okay, yeah, okay. She expresses it externally.
Yeah.
By
old footage of us as kids. Was thinking of using it in the dock. I refuse to use anything that has my dad in it. That would mean I forgive him.
Wow. I refuse.
Mm-hmm.
I cut him off. I cut him off so much out of my life, because all I was worth to him was a card. He's cut off. I don't even want to see a picture of him. I'm not putting him in my video, my documentary, even though that's family history. He's been written out, mm-hmm. which is exactly what her mother did to her parents.
She's following the example.
Yeah. Wow.
So we say all of this because we've got to get to the ending, and really, there was no way to capture all these sound bites because there's just so much action going on. But what ends up happening is, yes, it is revealed that the two people that are in Nana and Pop-Pop's house are not Nana and Pop-Pop. In fact, they killed Nana and Pop-Pop because their bodies are in the basement, which, I mean, that's why the guy says, don't go in the basement. You know, there's mold or there's your dead grandparents down there. We find this out as Becca finds it out. and the children escape. Thankfully, they escape. Unfortunately, they had to break through some of their own barriers to do that.
No, thankfully.
No, that is thankfully. What did I say? No, I mean like and thankfully.
Oh, okay.
And thankfully. Because, was it Tyler? He freezes up like he did in the football game.
Yep. But he overcomes.
But then he overcomes, and here's what I like. He overcomes when he sees his sister in trouble. Again, just pointing to the theme of family love. And then he overcomes that freezing moment. He tackles the old guy, knocks him down, and then does some other violent stuff. So, you know, filters up. But his dialogue in that moment, he's gone back to the football game.
Yep.
He's saying, watch his hip. He's pretty much saying what the coach and probably what his dad was yelling at him, you know, while he was all the way on the field.
Yeah.
Watch his hips, you know, watch the runner, you know, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And he's slamming the counter. All this aggression coming out. This is his release.
Yeah.
Finally, after 5 years of repressing this idea, this anger, he can finally release it to save his sister.
My dad left me because I embarrassed him on that football field. That's what... what's going on in his heart, in his soul. He's able to overcome. You know what? That's not right. That's not right. That wouldn't cause. That goes back to, well, yeah, when you say it that way, it does sound stupid. And now he's thinking, that is stupid. That's not right. That's not why he left. He didn't leave because I goofed up on the football field. And so he's able to overcome that. Wow. Wow.
And then we get this last little bit with Loretta and Becca. Loretta finally tells Becca what happened that day.
The day I left turned really badly. My parents cursed at me. I moved to the door to leave, and my mom stepped in front of me. I hit my mother. And then my dad hit me. And then we kind of stood there in shock, and then I left. They reached out to me soon after. I refused to take their calls. I know you were trying to get me forgiveness, Becca. You didn't have to do that, honey. It was there whenever I wanted it. Please, don't hold on to anger, Beck. Hear me?
Then we see
the footage.
We see the footage that Becca put her said she was not going to put in the film in the beginning, but now because she has forgiven her father, because she has released that anger, and she has again she has forgiven him.
Yeah,
because we see that. Yes, David, we see you. The feels, we get it.
It's just phenomenal.
We're feeling them right now, because in the same way that Tyler saved Becca from the physical anger, her mom just saved her from the emotional anger.
Yeah.
And again, Becca finally forgave her dad.
What Tyler, a blessing that her mom gave her a blessing. You don't have to do this. You can let go. You can let go of that anger. Don't hold on to it. Because look where I am now. I have no chance.
She can't
reconcile.
She can't reconcile with her parents because
they're not there anymore.
Yeah.
And she let it go too long. She let the sun go down. And it did, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And forever, it went down on her anger. Her opportunity passed. But she's able to redeem, to save her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. M. Night Shyamalan. So, Brendan, when you're sitting on when we are sitting
double
on
our, decker couch
with our buddies, having a good time watching some, you know, some spooks and cheap thrills, and
hey, you guys want to come watch a scary movie?
Some jumps, yeah. What do you say? What do we say as Christians? A, I shouldn't watch this movie. But after you get that part past that part.
Like, it's PG-13, but
yeah,
it should be PG-17.
Should be PG-46.
I really don't see how you could say it any better than M. Night Shyamalan just says it. Don't hold on to anger.
I think Paul could say it better.
Well, David actually says it better.
Exactly.
Don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Don't sin. By letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil.
And really, just to tie in that verse to more of the film,
yeah.
Those two patients that took over Nana and Pop-Pop's life, they let their anger give a foothold to the devil, and it messed with them.
You know, growing up, in the congregations that I did, I was always taught that your key verse, of course, Ephesians 4, 26 through 27, that was out of the NILT version. I was always taught that that's a command. So therefore, to be a Christian, that's another thing that you have to do. Okay. If you look at this closely, this passage, you'll notice that it's in the middle of a bunch of other passages. And you'll notice that there is a context going on. And if you guys will bear with me, I want to do a couple of longer readings because I want to fully understand. Let's understand what Paul is saying. And Ephesians chapter 4, in the New English translation, they start off in verse 1 calling this section, live in, what's a common theme here on Finding Christ in Cinema, yay, even the Great Commission Transmission Network.
Unity.
So we already have that set up for starting in verse 1 of Ephesians 4. I'm going to read through this pretty quickly. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live worthily of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The mom didn't do that. Continuing, there is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you too were called to the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is unity. How are we unified? Thus, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he captured captives. He gave gifts to men. Now, what is the meaning of he ascended, except that he also descended to the lower regions, namely the earth? He, the very one who descended, is also the one who ascended above all the heavens in order to fill all things. It was he who gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That is, to build up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. A mature person attaining to the measure of Christ's full stature. So we are no longer to be children tossed back and forth by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of people who craftily carry out their deceitful schemes. Those are the Judaizers. Those are the Gnostics, the mystery religions. Well, there were no Gnostics, but the mystery religions. Those are bad people. It's who he's talking about that are carrying people off. But practicing the truth in love. We will in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head. From him, the whole body grows, fitted and held together through every supporting ligament. As each one does its part, the body grows in love. Next segment, starting in verse 17, they title, Live in Holiness, Set Apart. So I say this and insist in the Lord that you no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. Because they are callous, they have given themselves over to indecency for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That's a hearkening back to, forward actually, to Romans chapter 1. Right? Starting in verse 18 and through the rest of the chapter, you can read that yourself. It's the same thing. Brendan, but you did not learn about Christ like this, if indeed you heard about him and were taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus. You were taught with reference to your former way of life to lay aside the old man who is being corrupted in accordance with deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man who has been created in God's image in righteousness and holiness that comes from truth. Therefore, having laid aside falsehood, each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on the cause of your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. And he goes on, the one who steals, don't steal anymore. In other words, live good, righteous lives. Now, you said David is the one that coined that, right? This be angry and do not sin is from Psalm 4, the fourth Psalm. Now, this is quoting the Septuagint version. The Hebrew is a little bit different, and I've been looking into this, and it's all actually almost kind of really hard to say, to figure out exactly what's going on. But you know what'll help us? The Amplified version.
Hey.
Psalm 4. Now listen to this. What is Psalm 4? The Amplified version. It says right up at the top there, evening prayer of trust in God. So now we know that in New Testament, in Jewish minds, if you quote something from the Old Testament, you're quoting the whole context. You're saying, go back and read this scroll, right? So let's read this short psalm, Psalm 4, out of the Amplified version, and see what Paul is drawing from.
It's only four verses. Four stanzas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eight verses. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have freed me when I was hemmed in and relieved me when I was in distress. Now, we know David's a man of war, so he's hemmed in by armies. But Paul is pulling from this verse when he's talking about, hey, you guys formerly were Gentiles and acting like all these people. You were hemmed in by your own sin. Your own greediness, your own impurity, your own indecency, your own callousness hemmed you in. But like David prayed to Yahweh, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have freed me when I was hemmed in and relieved me when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear and respond to my prayer. Oh, and God answers, O sons of men, how long will my honor and glory be turned into shame? How long will you, my enemies, love worthless, vain, futile things and seek deception and lies? Selah. But know that the Lord, know that Yahweh, has set apart for himself and dealt wonderfully with the godly man. The one of honorable character and moral courage. The one who does right. That's what we were just talking about in Ephesians 4. The one who does right. God deals wonderfully with. Yahweh hears and responds when I call to him. David says, tremble with anger or fear and do not sin. Meditate, here it is, meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Reflect on your sin and repent of your rebellion. She never forgave her parents. She needed to meditate in the wee small hours of the night on that anger and fear. There's a fear in releasing or stepping away from the anger. Well, what'll happen if I forgive my dad, as Becca says? What'll happen if I forgive him? He hurt me. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Reflect on your sin and repent of your rebellion. Offer righteous sacrifices. How? Trust confidently in Yahweh, in the Lord. Many are saying, oh, that we might see some good. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put joy in my heart, David says, more than others know when their wheat and new wine have yielded abundantly. I'm more joyful than them. In peace and with a tranquil heart, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety and confident trust. Paul is reminding these Ephesians and the other, everybody that's reading this letter is getting passed around, right? Yeah. He is reminding Laodicea, Colossae, you know, hey, pass these letters around, reminding them of David's words. You were like these people. You were Gentiles. You were futile in your mind and your thinking, and you held grudges, and you hated your dad for leaving the family, and you refused to put him in the family movie. You're writing him out of the history books of the family. No, 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 no. Be righteous. Know that God has blessed you abundantly. Reflect on these things when you're in bed at night and repent of that. Be righteous. Be righteous for unity's sake. Be righteous for holiness' sake. Be set apart. Don't be like the world around you. That is what the message of this film is. That's what Becca's mom is saying at the end. Don't be like me. Don't act like that. You can see that that led to no good. It's a blessing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anything, thoughts, afterthoughts, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
Off the whole thing?
Yeah.
Read Ephesians 4, read Psalm 4, yeah. Read Matthew 18.
Why Matthew 18, Brendan?
Well, that's where Jesus gives us the... Well, first he gives us the instructions. Look, if someone sins against you, go to them and settle out the matter. Don't let it fester.
Yep.
Go to them. And then after that passage, we get Peter, you know, good old rock-headed Peter, pun intended.
Yep.
Good old rock-headed Peter saying, "Well, Lord, how many times should I forgive somebody? Seven times?" "No, no, no," says Jesus. 77 times. And then he gives the parable of the unforgiving debtor.
Yes.
Whose own debt yes. was forgiven.
By whom?
By the king.
By the king.
By the master. King himself.
Yes. So why are we to forgive others? Why are we to not hold that anger or that sinful kind of anger?
As Christians? Because yes. we have already been forgiven.
Amen. You won. That kind of harkens back to Ant-Man, too. I think everything this year is going to point back to Ant-Man in one way or another.
Well, if you put it like that, it sounds stupid.
All right, Brendan, that is a great film for sharing a wonderful message, a blessing from God. Listeners, what Christian themes did you find in M. Night Shyamalan, ding, ding, dongs, The Village. The Visit.
The Visit.
There's a lot of stuff in there. Anyway, we'll look forward to hearing you on the next episode. And until then...
Well, man...
No!
No feedback.
Let's do feedback.
Oh.
People that have left feedback on past episodes. And starting off, where's my feedback segment right here? Oh, you know what? Right now, as we are wont to do, we're going to go somewhere.
Where?
Do you know where?
I think
I don't know. Let's see. Oh, but we're riding horses to get there.
Who goes there? It is I.
Francisco, that's fun to say.
No, no.
No.
I already knew that we're going to, patron St. Philip is escorting us. True. That was him riding the horse.
True.
We were with the coconuts.
Oh, okay.
And he's taking us to...
We're lollygagging behind him.
King Philip's Stables. He left a comment, Brendan, on our last episode, episode number 91, E.T., The Extraterrestrial Prayer, and Unity.
Hey. He says, hey, guys, that was a great job on a childhood classic. Rewatching it was a unique experience where I would have moments in the film in which a plot hole or artistic choice took me completely out of it, and other moments where it totally had me by the guts. Brendan made a point similar to this, and it seems to me that E.T. is a film made for children that adults can also enjoy and appreciate, but that we need to keep in mind it's a parent intended audience. Yes, Philip, thank you for clarifying that for me. Non-sarcastically.
All right.
let's see.
Trust me, when I was a 10-year-old kid.
Thank you, sir. And trust me, when I was a 10-year-old kid and saw it in theaters back in 1982, I was buying everything Steven Spielberg was selling. My dad has an advanced case of Alzheimer's and hasn't known who I am for years now. Oh, dang it, Philip. E.T. is the only time I recall seeing my dad cry at a movie.
Wow.
So that stuck with me for a long time. I think nostalgia is a legitimate reason to like a film and nothing to apologize for.
Thank you.
Hey, there you go.
There you go. So it's okay for you to like Avatar because of the nostalgia.
Yeah.
That's what Philip was saying.
Yeah, there you go. It can also help us be humble and avoid pretension about movies.
Yes.
Philip is speaking our language.
Yes,
Bubba.
He is. He knows the FCC lexicon, doesn't he?
He sure does. One thing I got was the idea that loving someone means putting down or putting their best interest ahead of what I want, or even what may be helpful to a greater number of people.
Good point.
E.T. needed to go home, but I think Elliot and the Keys guy both would have liked him to stay.
Yeah.
And for good reason.
I mean, E.T. said it. Please stay. I love you.
Yeah. And for good reasons, not to exploit him.
Right.
In best case scenario, he could have been a lifelong friend and companion to Elliot and also helped humans better understand the universe and perhaps have some very helpful technological advancements.
Yes.
I will grant you that this is unreasonably optimistic on my part, but possible. Instead, Elliot and Keys both let him go.
There was a movie where that happened, and it's one of my very favorite movies of all time. The alien did stay behind, chose to stay behind, live with a human being, and benefit the human race in leaps and bounds for the remainder of his life.
Was that My Favorite Martian?
No, that would be The Cat from Outer Space. Disney, 1977.
Mm.
Put it on! Patron St. Philip presents the list. What, you're not participating?
No.
Oh, man!
No, we're not. We're not putting that one on the list.
My favorite movie.
Instead, Elliot and Keys both let him go and did what was best for E.T. despite their own desires. Heck, Keys had even been dreaming of an alien encounter since he was a kid, and he also had his job to do, but didn't interfere with the escape.
That's good enunciation.
Thank you. Love can be real and still be selfish if we're not careful.
Oh, love can be real and still be selfish.
That's another t-shirt.
Wow.
That's another t-shirt.
But was Jesus's love selfish?
I don't.
He wanted to save us. So he did.
He would save us.
Yeah.
But at the cost of himself.
Yeah, it was worth it.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, well, okay.
Christian's love places Christian love places and wait, what? Oh, okay, sorry. Christian love places the interest of the loved one ahead of their own.
Oh, well, there you go. There, that you, there, right.
you go. There you go. Proverbs 17:17.
He anticipated my statement, yeah. Didn't he?
Proverbs 17:17 out of the NKJV.
Yes.
The
nearly King James Version.
Says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity.
Mm.
This film gives us a good example of a healthy love in practice, and little Drew Barrymore cracked me up. Little girls who are adorable and seem to know it well are just too funny.
I agree.
We got goosebumps out of the Redbox the other day, and wow, was it good. I don't recall if you guys have seen it or not, but it was a lot of fun, family-friendly, and will be a movie we rewatch a lot around October in years to come. This definitely needs to go on the list! And maybe do an episode on it for this Halloween?
Well, now, Philip, answer us, riddle us this, Philip. Do you want us to hold off on that film? We do have it on Patron St. Philip Presents. The list! Do you want us to push it back to October, to the autumn time of this year, or would you like us to do it sooner than that? You let us know. You're the boss. Anything else?
Well, love the show, guys. Hashtag
Movie Lab Gimli. Oh, wonderful. Great feedback, as always. Philip, let us know about what you want us to do with Goosebumps. And in the meantime, maybe you'd like to take a trip to us, with us, too. We haven't been here in such a long time, to Ron's Red Oak.
Potatoes.
No. Ron's Red Oak Treehouse.
Yeah. Potatoes. No!
We haven't heard from Ron in quite a while, and he left us a high-tech, crystal-clear voicemail.
Hello, friends at Finding Christ in Cinema. This is Ron, and I just wanted to call and tell you how much I appreciated your covering Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Insights were very, very good, and as most people really like to paint Dumbledore as the Christ figure, in this movie, I really thought he was more of a Paul figure to Harry being a Timothy. He charges him. He tells him certain things he must do. He sees what's looming ahead of him. And he knows he must endure it. He's even got the thorn in the flesh, if you consider the ring that he had put on and withered his hand. And yet he endures it all because he knows what he's doing is more important than anything else. And what he's teaching Timothy, Dumbledore is teaching Harry, is more important than anything else as well. He knows he's handing off his ministry and his work to the next generation, the one who will follow him. And I thought that was something valuable for us to take away because, you know, not everything we start, we will finish. We may have a desire to, but other things happen. God's will may not be for us to do certain things. But, you know, Paul surrendered so much, everything, to the cause of Christ. It gives us a great example of what we should be doing. And, you know, I was drawn to Philippians 2nd chapter when Paul says, talks about being offered as a sacrifice, and he is willingly suffering and enduring these things. He knows he has a job to do, and it's the one God has for him to do, and it's rarely going to be easy, but you know what, God has not promised us flower strewn paths for us to trod, but he has a plan for us, and it will be the best one in the world. I really appreciate the time you guys took to put into this movie, reviewing it. And I just hope you continue to do such a great job with all the other movies you're covering. And it's sad that we lost Richard Harris, but it's great that we have Michael Gambon. So I'm reconciled to two Dumbledores. So yeah. You guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye. I'm reconciled to two Dumbledores as well, Brother Ron. He made a great point. that you can look at the relationship between Dumbledore and Harry as Paul and Timothy.
Yeah.
You know, you can also look at it as Elijah and Elisha, and mm-hmm. and you know, those great discipling relationships.
Moses and Joshua?
Yes, yes. Joshua, son of Nun. He had no parents, poor guy. Hey, neither did Harry Potter. That fits perfect.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
There you go. Moses and Joshua, son of Nun. Anyway, thank you very much, Ron. Excellent points. Thank you for sharing those with the listeners. So now you have three ways of sharing the gospel using Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Brendan, we also got a comment by a person going by the name of Beautiful Media.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Left a comment on Ant-Man, the Good Intentions and Forgiveness, episode number 87 of Finding Christ in Cinema. You can listen to that over on ChristInCinema.com. Beautiful Media says, this was a great review of how we should watch Ant-Man as Christians. We need to be careful of what we justify in the name of good intentions, and we should also be willing to forgive as God forgives.
I think we just talk about that.
But hey, we have these motifs and these tropes, and you know, the lexicon of Finding Christ in Cinema is easy to learn. You just go back to episode one, catch up to episode... Why is that answer machine going on? That's two episodes in a row now. You go start at episode number one, and you catch up to us whenever you can catch up to us, and then there you will know the lexicon, the great lexicon.
The FCC lexicon coming soon to an Amazon Kindle
ebook. We need to do that!
Near you.
There you go! But Beautiful Media continues. We should also be willing to forgive as God forgives. It's amazing how movies can bring these fundamental truths to life and help us understand them better. You know what I say to that? Well, all the kids are, they thought that was a great comment.
Yeah.
We've talked about that several times on this episode. On this show. What an opportunity to share greater truth, because as our friend Russ Adcock says, all the best stories have elements
of the greatest story.
Amen, brother. So, Beautiful Media, thank you for the comment, and please keep it up. Stick with, we need your input, and we appreciate that. Brendan, any other feedback?
No, I'm ready for Minerva.
Well-mannered frivolity.
Go!
All right, so finally got to watch some movies this week.
Oh,
some
good.
Newer movies. In theaters, I went to go see Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. Michael, I don't care what you say. I liked it.
Okay, of course you did.
I don't even like jumper films, and yeah, it has a couple of, you know, the jumper scares. I don't like those. What I did like, though, is how well it blended the original story of Pride and Prejudice with the zombie genre.
Okay.
Favorite case in point, I tweeted it out.
Not Case and Lane.
No, case in point.
Okay.
Even though I did see it. No, I saw it at the Capri. One of my favorite lines from the movie, Mr. Darcy, you are just as unfeeling as the undead.
Brendan, does this need to go on Patron St. Philip Presents?
No.
What? We're over there. Wait, let's come back. Okay, we're back.
Okay. No, I don't think so.
Oh, good.
I don't think
Woo!
So.
Dodge but, that bullet!
But it is a good. It is a nice little film.
All right.
I actually may want to do a Monday movie review.
There
on
you
this one.
Go.
But what I would rather do one on this week, you know, schoolwork permitting, is on the end of the tour.
Yes.
The David Foster Wallace / David Lipsky interview road trip movie.
Yes.
Very
starring Lex Luthor.
Yeah. So, well, starring Jesse Eisenberg,
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes, starring Jesse Eisenberg as David Lipsky, the Rolling Stone writer, and Jason Segel as David Foster Wallace.
Oh, right.
Excellent film. Just go filters up, go watch it.
Is there a Christian angle to this?
Definitely.
All right.
Oh, so definitely.
Okay, what else?
Well, schoolwork, like I said, schoolwork permitting, getting away. Here's what this week's about. Reader's Theater had to film a Reader's Theater performance that I adapted from a certain biblically based text.
Uh-huh.
Got that filmed. It's on YouTube. Can't make it public yet, just because Sunday's the due date. So
stay tuned next episode. We can release that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then just got a whopping analysis paper on The Clean House. That's a play by Sarah Rule.
Okay.
A play that I read at first, didn't like it. In fact, I almost despised it. But now that I've been reading it for 2 weeks, I really like
it. Hey, that's what happened with me with The Visit.
I know.
All right.
And then, of course, you know, with online classes, you get to have these live chats with your classmates and the teacher.
How many are there?
Well, right now we've had two.
No, how many other classmates do you have?
Oh, well, that's the thing. Not all of them could be there. I think the class in total has 15 or 20 people.
Oh, okay.
But there was about 8 people in the chat
room.
So it was really cool.
Wow.
Really
cool. That sounds like fun. Hey, this past week we had dinner with our friends, the Fullers, Ron and Amanda Fuller. And Ron is a man, I interviewed him in a video for the One Day of Hope here in Manchester, Tennessee, for anybody who has seen that. You can actually find that. If you haven't seen it, go onto our website at gctnetwork.com and just look underneath the video drop down, and it'll be under the Follow Me series. But Ron is, he's a really neat man, and he's a very smart man, and they plant house churches and things like that. Well, he's helping me with this process. You may have remembered me mentioning that we're getting the Great Commission Transmission Network set up as a full-fledged nonprofit. He is the one that is guiding me through that. So I just want to put out another, if you didn't hear a couple of episodes ago, we need your help over here because it's expensive to set up a nonprofit. For some reason, it's $15 to set up a sole proprietorship. To set up a real business, doing business as, to set up a nonprofit is hundreds of dollars. And so we need your help, anybody that can support anything. We did have one of our patron saints up their monthly contribution. I won't mention any names because I wasn't given that permission to do so, but we appreciate that. Any bit helps. This Saturday, right now, I am scheduled to meet with the great... Lee
Great Scott.
Yes, Lee, LGS, Lee Great Scott. So that we can start recording our new worship show. So prayers for that. Hopefully, you know, all things working out. Saturday morning, we will begin recording those and get those start to release those as soon as possible. We are also getting ready to launch the GCT Network radio station, internet radio. Anybody want to help out with that? Anybody want to record some devotionals, anything like that? Get in touch with us here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, and maybe we can work those things out. I am also getting ready to launch, finally, Christian Mission Minute, which is going to be a short show, and I have a bunch of things lined up for that so that I want to have, you know... be months ahead on that one so that I can make sure that I'm releasing them consistently, you know, one a week or what have you. And on top of that, I'm working on a brand new video series, Brendan.
Oh, no.
And this is going to be separate from the Great Commission Transmission Network. This is going to be secular. It's not going to be a Christian series. But what I'm hoping to do between you and me and the doorpost and our listeners out there is I'm going to try and trick people into visiting us at the Great Commission Transmission Network. So I'm going to be talking about something that lots and lots of people like to talk about and like to watch videos about. But I'll say, for more information, you can find me over at gctnetwork.com.
The secular bait and switch, huh?
It is going to be a bait and switch, absolutely. But it will also be a helpful show for others. Other than that, that was my well-mannered frivolity for the week. Do you have any lightning round? The lightning round!
And really quickly?
Yes.
Celtic Woman, their album X, Roman numeral for 10, on Spotify. Check it out. It's got all their... really cool stuff, specifically their version of Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Brought tears to my eyes, bagpipes, full orchestra, ensemble.
Huge production.
Video on YouTube is even awesomer.
Yes.
So go check that out. In fact, there's a link to that in the show notes.
No relationship to Gossamer.
No, sure not.
Oh, right.
Not.
Hey, Patron Saint Philip. Last episode in the comments section, he made a short little statement that was so profound that we said, we need that on a t-shirt. And so David Gaddy from our sister show,
The Theonauts,
made it happen. You can now get the Patron Saint Philip Ungrace t-shirt by David Gaddy. Here's a short link that I made for you. GCTnetwork.com/FCC91, Finding Christ in Cinema 91. That was the episode he said it. FCC 91, Ungrace.
Mm-hmm.
GCTnetwork.com/FCC91, Ungrace. You have to see this design that David came up with. And it's real easy. Ungrace is not a...
It's not a good witnessing tool.
It's not an effective witnessing tool.
Yeah.
So there you go. Patron St. Philip makes his way to his very first Finding Christ in Cinema t-shirt. Get over there and purchase that. And all sizes and it's very good quality t-shirts. Brendan, what is coming up next?
Oh, well, next week we are finishing the Back to the Future trilogy.
Yes! And little Michael J. Fox right here, Marty McFly, he may find his eyebrows on the next episode.
I hope he does.
If you were watching the video, you would see what I'm talking about.
After that, not to pin anything down, but here's what we would like to do. After that, we were looking at Bridge of Spies.
All right.
The new Steven Spielberg movie with Tom Hanks.
Finding Christ in Tom Hanks films.
We need to get we need to get Tom Hanks and M. Night Shyamalan for episode 100.
Maybe we could actually put them together, and then Tom will be in his next film.
Oh.
Whoa!
Pipe dream.
Wow, the show may explode.
My head would explode. Then we're going to look at Black Mass.
Oh, the Whitey Bulger story.
And we only chose this one because Michael and I, we just both really want to watch it.
Yes.
And we figured if we're going to watch it, we might as well just do it for the show anyway.
Yes.
So we're going to look at that. Then we're going to start another little trilogy.
What's that?
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, finally!
Raiders dun, of the dun, Lost Ark.
Dun, 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 dun. That, we need to know. That would...
Anyway. Okay. And then, just in time for Easter weekend, we'll do The Man of Steel.
Okay, there you go. Why?
Oh, well, not just because it's Easter and Superman is quintessential
figure.
Messiah figure, but that just happens to be the weekend that Superman versus Batman Dawn of Justice
that
comes out.
That's the newest trailer. Brendan, we watched it before the show. I can't wait.
And then we'll have a nice little comedy with Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway in The Intern.
That way we get Robert De Niro as FCC's very own, finally, because Anne Hathaway is.
Yeah, she already is.
And it's also, it's a popular film, huh?
Yeah.
We checked on the list, what are people watching, and that was one. So there you go. And two great actors. We are loaded up here at Finding Christ in Cinema. You want to stick with us, friends, because we are live in the studio each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join us for live video, and especially chat using the chat room and the video players at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com. Now, if you want to
witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
digital ministry, including all 92 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Monday movie reviews, and links to our social media profiles, visit our website at christincinema.com. If you want to send us email, do that old-fashioned style. Address it, fcc@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-4286, or if you'd just rather not,
yeah,
and you'd rather use our other voice line that is perfectly constitutional,
yes,
at 507-407-GCTN.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Now, if you just want to listen to the podcast,
I do.
The good old podcast.
Yes.
Find us at iTunes, not with duct tape.
No.
I love duct tape.
Find us at Stitcher, not with falafel.
I don't like falafel.
And find us at TuneIn Radio. Not because the air got to it.
The air got to it.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
By searching them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
the Theonauts!
And the soon-to-be-forthcomingness, The Worship Show. Get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
This show doesn't taste like chicken.
And I thought my jokes were bad.
And that is a wrap!
I don't understand.
Inconceivable.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
That's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
Fool of a took.
I'm afraid you're just too darn loud.
It's ghastly.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
It's a trap!
I told you he was tricksy.
It's stuff like this that gives me trust in
you. You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At GCTnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission.